person. You want to get our special guest?
I can't talk.
Damn, go, man. Go. What are you doing to me, man? You trying to throw me off? It's not working, baby, because we keep this shit running, girl.
Let's go.
All right. And now, all right, joining us is a special guest. He is a GMU alum, just like me and you over here at the degrees. Or you so happen to call yourself an alum. You actually got your degree in
that. I got my degree.
Okay. All right. So joining us is Tyler Byram, who is a CSN Mid-Atlantic digital freelancer and a beat writer for Mason Basketball for the GiantKiller.co. How's it going today, Tyler?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you, man? It's been a while.
I know. We haven't talked in a while. I mean, we need to catch up one time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How was graduate life with you?
It's busy. It doesn't get any easier, I'll tell you that much, what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, I'll bet. Well, let's talk about it, since you covered the team, and I know you cover them more than me and Chris over here, because we would go to Mason games as frequently as, how should I put it, as you being skinny.
That's not fair.
That's fair enough.
That's not fair.
But let's look at it. Mason men's basketball, they finished with 20 wins this year. I know you read an article about it on GiantKiller.co the other day, and it's the first time Mason has reached the 20-win mark since 3 years. It's their best record in the Atlantic 10 Conference this year at 9-9. What was your overall outlook about the season that the Patriots had?
Well, overall this season, they actually did pretty well. I mean, they exceeded preseason expectations, and they even exceeded my expectations, and mine were higher than what a lot of people had going in. Mm-hmm. I know in the beginning it was a little discerning because they had a rough start, losing three of their first four games, including one to the Mount, which, I mean, they started their season 1-11, and that one win was to George Mason.
Right.
But, I mean, overall they turned it around really nicely.
Yep.
After that rough start, and I mean, if you just look, maybe if those first three losses at the end of the season to Towson, Mount St. Mary's, and even Houston went the other way, I mean, we're going to be talking about NIT instead of CBI today.
Right. That is true. And let's talk about that for a second. If we remember, like, throughout the middle part of the season, Mason had went on that 9-game winning streak, and then they kind of fell off. What happened after that? And, what happened?
So with the 9-game winning streak, I mean, nothing really went wrong after they lost. It's just it was basically 9 winnable games for the Patriots.
Right.
The two toughest teams they played was Northern Iowa, who turned out to be a dud this season. I mean, at the time, they were highly ranked. I believe they had a top 5 RPI in the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
And then ever since, I believe they lost like 6 out of the next 8 games. And then they never really turned around or were a threat for even an at-large bid. I am from a mid-major conference, of course.
Right.
And then also against the Big Ten team in Penn State, which the Nittany Lions, and that's the only one the A-10 had against the Big Ten all season. But, I mean, that's a solid win against Penn State. Did they make the NIT? I don't remember exactly, but they were competing around that level, if you will. And it's just conference play started, and their first game that they had was VCU, and I mean, VCU, they've made the NCAA tournament 7 years in a row. So, I mean, nothing really went wrong. It's just they won all the games that they should have at that stretch in the season. And conference play starts, and just Mason, they were mismatched for a majority of the conference. One of the things that the Patriots lacked this year was size. And, I mean, VCU and really the top teams in the conference really took advantage of that.
Right. So, let me get your opinion about Marcus Moore. He's a senior, so he's not going to be there. So, how do you think the Patriots are going to be next season? Next season coming up without Marquise?
Well, so, if you asked me this question like 10 days ago, I would have said, because all Mason fans are hyped up, especially after George Mason beat Fordham finally in the A-10 tournament. I would have said that the team is probably not going to improve much into next year. It would probably stay around the same length. But the more I thought about it, the more that I've said in the realization that both Marquise Moore and also Jalen Jenkins. People forget about Jalen, who's just as important to this team as Marquise is. He controls the post. I know they don't keep as much intricate stats for college basketball as they do NBA basketball. But if you look at the production for the Patriots when Jalen's off the court, it just is a complete downfall. The offense just looks off. But the thing is that the team, they're actually, I think, going to do really well next season. have the potential to build on what they do this season, which why I think the CBI is such a great opportunity for Mason, because it gets these younger players, which we're talking about Otis Livingston II, Jair Greer.
Right.
They're going to now be playing their third seasons next year. And then all the freshmen, of course. I mean, as much playing time as they can get will help this program. And they also have some great recruits coming in as well. They have a four-star from ESPN and Gunnar Marr coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And a red-shirted player, A.J. Wilson, who, from what people have been telling me, has been killing it during practice. And they have some good players coming in and with a potential to build on one of their weaknesses, which was that really stretch four position that you're seeing across not even just college basketball, but, I mean, NBA as well. Just
right.
Have four guard players on the outside, one of them being bigger than the other, can be a utility-type player. And they're going to have a couple of players coming in next year that can fill into that role.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's quickly go back to Marquise Moore for a second. As we mentioned, he's not going to be there again this season. He had some historic numbers this year. I mean, he was on the front cover of Bleacher Report just a couple weeks ago for his numbers. He was averaging rebound. He was averaging double-digit rebounds, 10-plus rebounds a game.
Third.
His scoring and rebounding averages we hadn't seen since the likes of Tim Duncan, David West, you know, Ben Simmons, who was the number one overall pick for the 76ers last year. And I remember in that article, Coach Polson had, you know, talked about Marquise's NBA stock and NBA status. And he was talking about the fact that he didn't have a true NBA jump shot and, like, what type of player he could be in the NBA, and he compared him to a Rajon Rondo. So, given that comparison, and given how the NBA has changed, and the NBA has changed in today's game, where it's more about spacing and three-point shooting, and you see the elimination of the big man, and the mid-range shot isn't as respected or as loved by the NBA as it once used to. How do you see Marquise Moore transitioning into the NBA? Do you think teams will, you know, bite on him, and what type of role do you see him having on the next level?
Well, as far as the next level, I think he can do really well. He's built to be aggressive and rebound. He has an NBA-type body, which is one of the things that you really don't see in college hoops, and that's one of the things that a lot of people don't take into account when they're talking about talent level in the college game, because, I mean, these guys in college, they look big, but compared to NBA players, they're just massive. But Marquise is built, and just he's gotten more built every single season that he's been with the Patriots. It's just been a steady progression. I think it could fit in quite well. As far as maybe, I know there are some people thinking he should be considered for the NBA draft. I mean, of course, averaging a double-double on the season is only a handful of players.
Especially as a point guard.
History that can do that. I don't see it happening in the draft. I could see some teams maybe taking a bite on him once the draft is over and just signing him to a couple-day contract and seeing summer league. I think a similar path to what Shaquan Thompson, graduated from Mason last year, is doing. How he was signed by the NBA Pelicans and he got sent down to the D League, the G League, as they're calling it now.
Yeah.
He's playing on the Erie BayHawks and doing quite well. I mean, that could be Moore's potential path, but he definitely has a future in basketball. He's not one of those guys that is going to be done playing after George Mason. If he's not playing in the D League, he's either going off to Europe or Southeast Asia, because he has a career coming for him in professional basketball.
Well, absolutely, man. I wish him the best, man. And, you know, I just hope that we haven't had a standout player like this since really when Coach Larrañaga came in. And speaking of coaches, let's talk about Coach Polson for a second and the type of impact that he's had. And we know this is the third year he's been with the program. Before that, he had taken a small-time school in Bucknell to the NCAA tournament, so he had kind of a pedigree bringing underdogs up. So how have you seen Coach Polson's impact on this Mason basketball program?
Well, one thing I've noticed is that just the players absolutely love them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I see the relationship, I've seen it both in the stands and when I'm sitting behind the benches in Crest Row, that just the players it's almost like a fatherly figure to them, which is how a coach should be. You often see that in high school, but in college that goes away a little bit. But that relationship is just so strong between him and his players. And he's really transformed the identity of this team. I mean, if you look at it, I know everyone's focused on Marquise Moore and what he's doing. But it's not just Marquise Moore. The entire team as a whole is like buying into the whole boxing out mentality, packing the paint, getting bodies in it to prevent teams from scoring. I mean, that's an identity. That's not just Marquise Moore being aggressive on defense and just getting the rebounds at the right time. I mean, he has 20 double-doubles in the season, and I'd say
ridiculous.
To the final 5 minutes of a game, he may be like with 5 minutes left to go in the game, he had only accounted for 12 of those. A lot of those rebounds he got were junk rebounds, if you will. Not taking anything away from Marquise, but
Russell Westbrook type rebounds. I get it. I know exactly where you're going.
he can go and get him up against anybody.
Right.
But it's just the whole team knows how to rebound. I mean, they have a +8 rebounding advantage on the season, which is incredible. And I mean, Coach Paulson, I believe he said it best. He said in a quote in the Washington Post, I believe Steve Goff wrote it off their loss to VCU the other night. But Paulson said, and I quote, you want to build a program where tradition never graduates. Players graduate, but tradition never graduates, end quote. And that's what I'm seeing now with this team. I mean, one player that's going to fill in for Marquise next year is going to be Jair Grayer. I've seen it this year. He has the same killer instinct that Marquise has. It's not as strong, but it's growing and it's getting there. He's now averaging nearly 6 rebounds towards the end of the season a game. And, I mean, he has a three-point game. That's one thing Marquise kind of struggled with.
Yep.
But Jair Grayer's three-point game is really brings a whole new element into the style that George Mason will have.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, I was raving about Jair Grayer just a couple years ago. We know his daddy played in the NBA, and so he has that pedigree. He has those genes. He definitely had that defense. He's a defensive stud, too, man. And he was one of Mason's highest ever high school recruits over the last couple years.